We are learning Klal Samach Tes. We spent the last time we learned on Sif Aleph, which basically was a rundown of all the rules of Issur Schayra. There's a prohibition against doing business with non-kosher foods. And we discussed the fact, some hold us to Rashi, some hold us to Rabbanon. Either way, person is not allowed to have his business in dealing with non-kosher items. In Siv Beis, it says, Davar she'ni surai elamid rabbanon, something that's only in Issur Rabbanon, kagvina shalnachri, such as a cheese, non-Jewish cheeses, mutter lasis by schaira, one is allowed to do schaira, chutz miyayin. Except for yastam yeinam, the wine of a non-Jew, even though it's the rabbanon, it should be mutter, because some hold that it's asa bahana. What does that mean, some hold? Now, all agree that wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah is asa bahana. And the original Rabbanan also is Isser Hana. If you get wine of from a non-Jew, it's also Isser Hana. However, the Ramah says, Taisa says, at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, and Ramah brings la halacha, that nowadays the goyim are not so religious. They're not so from that every time they see wine, they jiggle it for the Avodah Zarah. So although we're not matarit b'shtia based on that, but if someone gives you a gift of an expensive bottle of wine, you can pass it on to another guy, could have a anor from it. So we're not meichin those who have anor. Some say you could have anor lechatchila. We hold that if it's a significant amount of money, you can derive benefit from it. So, if it's a hefsid meruba, yeah, it's a, you know, a bottle of wine is usually not, but somebody recently spoke to me, his company had bought cases of wine to give out to their non-Jewish clients, so it was already a hefsid meruba at that point, they had bought a lot of wine, so assuming they couldn't give it back, but the giving it out was permitted. He says, Kvar b'yarnu b'lchus yayin nesach, de'im oichim b'yad ha'mekilim. He says, Kvar b'yarnu, we said it earlier. Now, even though he said it earlier, we started with the easy stuff, so we didn't learn b'lchus yayin nesach yet. And if you'll have the patience for me, we will.
A liquor store, there's a ma'akilim to him to help yayin nesach as well.
A liquor store, yeah, it's a little hard. If you have a liquor store in a Jewish neighborhood, you're not going to have it. So somebody else buys a liquor store in a Kaish neighborhood. Okay, Ois Gimel. Nachri. It would be the Nizdam. We had the heter last time that if in order to keep the business viable, you have to have a selection. So you can have, that's right.
It's also about Noah. The other things were not also about Noah.
In a way, it's worse because this would be Isser HaNoah. Nachinam. You have to come on to the Mekilin. Al-Tzchayri, you're right, but Al-Tzisser HaNoah, you have to come on to the Mekilin. They call it a Hefsid. Gimel, Nachri Shevin Darili Yisrael Devarim Tmeim. A guy who brought to a Jew a gift, non-kosher items. Mutala Kablon. The Ilav, the Havalei Hanomine, Lo Yoevlei. Vavalei Kamatzel Miyadam. It's interesting. In Shas, we have this idea numerous times that we assume when a gift is given, that nobody does things for free. It's always a trade-off. If you give someone a gift, you must have gotten something from him. The Gemara makes a lot of halachas from this. The Gemara says that an apotropis of a katan, if Bezin appoints an apotropis, see, Bezin's not mechayev in mishvua, because no one's going to want to be an apotropis. It says if the father, before he died, appointed someone an apotropis, so he does have to swear. Why? Because he must have gotten something for it. If he's doing the guy a favor, he must have gotten something in exchange for it. We don't say he wouldn't have done it. So, Gemara and Gittin and Hanazikin.
That's one
story. There's another. Yes, very good. You're very sharp. Okay. Abishol argues in the Mishnah. He says that if a Bezdin appoints someone an apotropis, people love it because it means Bezdin trusts them. Right. So it's on the contrary.
But that's what Bezdin chooses.
When Bezin chooses, yes, the opposite of the other. Not the opposite, only the father chooses, but okay. Yeah, okay. There's a svara that when a person does for free, he's a shayma sachar, because every shayma chinam is really getting something. People don't do things for free. I don't know. I think people, I don't know. I'm driving to yeshiva. I pick someone up at the bus stop. He didn't do anything to, for me that I know of. People do do favors just out of the kindness of their heart.
Trump has responsibility. Is there a difference between doing a favor and accepting responsibility?
Well, the favor is, I mean, it's two things. He accepts responsibility, okay. But he doesn't stand to lose. As long as he's not negligent, he's not responsible.
Yeah. The question of negligence, you know, it's this responsibility. There's a difference between accepting responsibility and just stopping.
Okay, it's a bigger job. Yeah, a small favor, like picking someone up and you're going anyway, people do. Okay. What's the bigger nizdamein than someone giving a present? Well, what's the chiddush you're allowed to take it? That should also be under the heter of nizdamein that happened to come his way. You're right. I don't know. Question's a good question. We already had a heter of nizdamein that we said, let's say you put out a trap, you want to catch kosher animals, but you caught a non-kosher. That's called nizdamein lo'in its mutter. So then what's the chiddush if a guy gives you a gift that it's mutter? Of course it's mutter. It's no worse than nizdamein lo'i. So what does that have to say? Because you had an off from it, it's kimatzel miyadam. No, but this is not mutei sahana either. This heter now that we're learning is only dvarim tmeim, not by isurei ana. So I don't know. Question's good. Sif oizdalin, also limkar lagai nevela becheskes sheira. The also lignoiv das habriya. It's interesting then. You're not allowed to sell to a guy non-kosher food and you pretend it's kosher. Now, who does the guy care? He's gonna eat kosher or non-kosher. But it's the Isser of Geneva's Das. You're stealing, you're fooling him. Well, guy even think kosher is better quality. We know it's not true. Right. Vafila Nachri, even a guy. I will be matana mutter to be matana l'shea Geneva's Das. Yeah.
Okay. Right? So
yeah, that's tough, Ganeva's test. A matana you're allowed to give, but matana le'shayach Ganeva's das. You're giving it for free, so it's worth something to you, so it's still lost. Ramesh has a tshuva about a guy who wants a mezuzah for shmira of his door. He says, the Jews have a good shmira. So just sell him a mezuzah case. What does he know? You know, like, give him a pasul mezuzah. You have a pasul mezuzah laying around. Give it to the guy. So Ramesha says, it's asas g'nevas das. I mean, it has makar in Shulchan Aruch, actually. You know, sell it to him. It's g'nevas das. You're fooling him. You're not supposed to fool Gayim either.
Many years ago,
so,
there was a place, he was a distributor for Momo before, and he had a mezuzah. It was a tie and felt mezuzah on the door. So I was another guy, and I went up to him. I see mezuzahs on all the doors. I said, what's this? He said, it's a mezuzah. He said, this saved me. He said, he married a Jewish wife, and she said, put the mezuzahs on the door. And he said, it do it all over the place.
Okay, the wife is the boss.
And he checks them.
And
he has them checked.
He has been checked. Okay. Very from.
I don't know. He's a tile fellow. Every door.
The Shabbos he doesn't keep, but the mezuzah he keeps. Well, he's a guy. I hope he doesn't keep Shabbos.
No, he said the mezuzah protects me. My wife said it's going to protect me.
Okay. Amazing. All right. What should I tell you? It's.
We always say it's also afraid that the guy's going to think it's kosher. He'll give it to a Jew.
It's interesting, but that the Gemara says a way out. The Gemara says don't sell a piece of meat to a guy, he'll sell it to a Jew. But that's only if the Jew knows that the Jew sold it to the guy.
Yeah.
If you do a bitzina, so nobody's going to buy it from the guy anyway. So that's an exception there. But the Gemara does say that a Jew shouldn't sell to a guy because then he'll pass it on becheskes kosher.
So
that's interesting. What?
The Gemara is mashma that the reason why you shouldn't do it is because
No, the Gemara means even if you tell him it's kosher meat, it's just not the Gedal Nosha wasn't taken out. That's all it means. But it's interesting that there's a man, the Amar in the Gemara, that stealing money from a guy is a drabanan, not a mitzvah, an avera.
Stealing money from a guy.
Yeah, is a drabanan. Is a drabanan. It's certainly us to steal from a guy. Question is the rice of drabanan. So So Lamaisa this is drabana and Geneva's das is deraisa. How could it be? Geneva's fooling him. Geneva's
das is
deraisa. Geneva's das even from a guy is deraisa, and Geneva's mommy could be a drabana. So Rabbeinu Yainer writes because he says MS is miyaseideh hanefesh. One thing, a person has a taiva, he steals, it's not good either. But to go around lying, it's a contradiction to the yaseideh hanefesh are to be truthful. To be truthful. Rabbeinu Yainer says we find.
Who says Rabbeinu Yainer?
Rabbeinu Yainer, yeah, the Pachad Yisrael brings in many places. He says, he answers a dozen kashas, six or seven kashas with it. Avimelech made a bris with Avraham. So he has a kasha. Avimelech made a bris with Avraham, but Avimelech is only mechuyin sheva mitzvahs b'dinayach. He doesn't have to keep his word on the bris. So what does he mean? He made a bris. He made a treaty with him, a bond with him. He's not obligated to follow it. Torah doesn't obligate him to follow it.
It's under the thing of making justice.
No, it's not a law.
Why?
No, that's to have laws. That's to have a business.
That's justice.
No. He writes this idea. What?
Did he use Hashem's name when he made the bris?
But he didn't swear, wasn't he?
It's like.
It's not one.
It's Sheva Mitzvahs B'Ninayach. It's only not to curse Hashem, not to say, take his name in vain. It's not one of Sheva Mitzvahs either. So,
the Bible was also all kinds
of feeding. See, anyway, he has this idea that, Emerson, he said, they're nefesh, and it's like sort of a hagdomah to Torah,
yeah.
To be truthful. Yeah. And therefore, Geneva's das is worse than hey, Mishaina Yedea Hilchashkita, Asalishchai Kedelim Karlagai. Somebody who doesn't know the laws of Shkita, he wants to practice. And it was nice to say. I had a friend who was practicing. He was in medical school to be a gynecologist. And I was Menachem Oval. I hadn't seen him since our high school days. And he was a good friend. I heard him sitting in Shiva. I went to Menachem Oval. So I said, like, who uses the gynecologist the first time he gives birth? Like, you know. Like, who uses it? He says, no, we go to in the poor neighborhoods. That's where we learn. That's where they learn.
It's just
bris mila.
They
do in the hospitals. You mean they do bris mila? Yeah. So you know you get what you pay for. Some places you get a bargain. So here you have a person who wants to learn hilchos shechita. So he's going to practice. He's not going to call it to be kosher. He's just practicing. But now he's going to shecht, and he'll do business with the meat. He'll sell it to a guy. That's also shari mechavin lasip in the velus, because he's mechavin. It's funny to call him mechavin. He really wants to get it right, but he's mechavin to be Isaac in the velus.
Why? Not really. He wants, like you said, he wants to get it right. Who wants?
No, but now you're doing business with the velus. That's the pshat. You're doing business with the velus. You're an amateur shaykh.
He's not going to practice unless he lines up somebody to take.
He's doing trade for meat business.
Who's selling to the guy? Because nobody's
going to
trust him.
Right, he means that halachically it's going to be not. He doesn't have enough experience to pass the
test. What does shaykh do? How does somebody become a new shaykh?
The truth is, nobody shechts animals owned by Jews today. In America, there are no Jewish-owned slaughterhouses. Except for Rabashkin, really, which was the first. But there are no Jewish-owned slaughterhouses. They're all non-Jewish-owned because most of the meat is not kosher anyway. So you shecht. It's a guy doing schair in it, not you. You know, it's not... Jews don't own slaughterhouses because two-thirds, 60% of the animals that we slaughter are not kosher.
Because
of problems with the lungs or occasionally problems with the shechita as well. So the question was, how do you learn to be a shochet?
Yeah.
What do you do with the nevela? Yeah. Teretz is, you're shechting a guy's animal anyway.
Right.
When you go to a slaughterhouse, you're shechting a guy's animal, and the meat goes to the guy. The guy will sell it, but the guy's allowed to sell trefa meat. Just the Jew's not supposed to sell trefa meat. So, it's a place in Baltimore, Truth Packaging. Sounds like Truth in Packaging. His name is really Mr. Truth. He owns a Shechita house, and the Star Case shuts there 3 days a week. I think Samar shuts there on Thursdays. Mendy Bauman shuts there. It's a small place. It's like a very large double garage. Amazing. Small, place. They shut a couple of animals. They're very, very mohuditik shechita. It's a calm. It's not a mass, produced place. It's a very calm shechita house. And,
is there like an apprentice or formal training program?
Yeah, of course. We call it Kabbalah.
What?
Until he gets, like a rav gets smicha, a sheikh gets Kabbalah. Kabbalah is the, so to speak, the smicha for a sheikhit. Quite a certain amount of experience, so you have to get it on non-kosher animals. It's interesting. You train by someone. I was once by Rav Moshe as a boy. These things, I wasn't a Talmud Chacham to watch it. I don't know if today I am, but then I certainly wasn't. I remember being by Rav Moshe, and this Israeli fellow walks in with this big knife ahead of cover. And he speaks to him in Hebrew. Rav Moshe spoke to him in Hebrew, and he apparently came there. Rav Moshe had a signature to the Kabbalah. So Rav Moshe sent him out. He took the knife. I remember like today, he took a drinking glass and touched it to the knife in three spots and called the guy back in. He said, check the knife. So first, the guy only found two pegimas. So Rav Moshe said, that's it? So he says, yesh katanshka. I remember he said, like a tiny little one on the bottom. So Rav Moshe felt it. He said, okay. He sent him to fix it, to see if he could fix the knife. And I think that was the extent. It could be he gave him a bechina separately. You know, I was just there for a little while. And he was there for Kabbalah. He was there.
The actual, doesn't someone watch the actual shechita?
You watch the actual shechita. Rav Moshe didn't have any spare animals at home.
That's
I don't know. I think he just, he was adding a signature. He was adding a signature to a Kabbalah, obviously. Smicha, when I got smicha, so I was offered to go to Rav Moshe for a bechina, so they had a signature to my smicha. I was scared stiff. I didn't go. I said, I don't want to bother him. I have smicha for a farm, I'll settle for that. But, I made a mistake. I should have gone. First of all, the chazara would have been a great chazara. Imagine. And, anyway, Moshe was very kind. He was adding to a smicha. He was very, judging from some people he gave smicha to, he was very generous in his,
According to the New York Times obituary for Rav Moshe.
Yeah.
Rav Moshe's phone number was on the back.
Of all smichas, yeah. The obituary didn't say it was, it said people said it was.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. It wasn't so easy to get through, but, okay. At the end of this klal, v'linchar tiyashim mikdeshal yekalkel ha'or hatazmatir v'habach v'asas b'yom v'shach ha'isrim. Here there's a dispute about animals that have to be slaughtered not for the eating of the meat, but for the use of the hide. Now you have to know that the neck skin is the most valuable, perhaps the most valuable skin in an animal. The reason is this: almost all of our tefillin are made out of skin from the neck, if I recall correctly. The reason for that is it's the most bendable. You know, it's very, and God designed the human being or the animal. He provided the right material for each part of the person, and the animal's neck hide is the most adaptable to bending and to turning. Mm. So it's valuable. So you don't want to shecht an animal at the neck if you want its hide. You want it to stay whole. Right. What they typically did was stab it in the heart. They did nechira. They killed it at the heart, and therefore the skin, the valuable part of the skin, was undisturbed. So there's a dispute about whether a Jew should be involved in that, because you end up with a lot of meat that's being sold as treif. So this is a question whether a person should be involved, and if the meat is thrown out, it would be a shayla. Anyway, that's this rule. Alright, so this is the, condensation of a simen shulchan aruch, simen kuf yud zayin, which is the halacha of things that are sold. You should know that in Yoredeya, for the most part, are long siman. For example, hilchas shechita is 28 simanim. Okay? We learned bishalakum and afiyasakum, kuf yud beis and kuf yud gimel. And drinking with Goyim, Kuf Yud Aleph, and Schayer B'Dvar Ma'asurim, and the things that are Sakana, Tazayin, and Yudzayin. So we learned Yud Bez, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tazok, Tazayin, and Yudzayin. We learned basically six sifim and everything we learned, which is a, less than a quarter of Hilchos Shechita. But that's why I'm starting with these halachas, which go rapidly from one topic to the next. So tomorrow night we're going to learn probably the most applicable of all the halachas we're learning, and that is the rules of how you're allowed to send food with a car service or any non-Jew for transport. So Klal Ayin will start the Yitzhak Shem tomorrow.